338.
Tonight, everybody. Kate Delaney's my name. We're going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions here. One thing we're going to talk about is following the money, but isn't that the basis for every show? I hate to say it. I'd love to jump on here and say, who cares about the money? But we do care about the money when we hear about almost $4 billion in cash going to energy firms with ties to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, for one. The payroll tax cut extension, that's going to be on our backs, too. So you're going to get a little bit of relief if you make less than $250,000, 20, perhaps maybe 30, every paycheck. You know, you get paid every 2 weeks, so whatever it ends up being, whether it's 40 or 60 or a number a little bit higher than that. But ultimately, you're going to pay triple that in the money that we're going to have to use to get the government back on its feet again when our deficit goes up to $20 trillion. I'm not even being sarcastic now. To me, this is just a fait accompli, as they say. I think that it will happen if we don't take a serious look at chopping down all of the spending. So here's the deal with clean energy. Here's the deal with going green and alternatives. I think almost all of us would say, if you want to go after energy alternatives, do it. Oil companies, believe it or not, do that. They dump money in that direction because guess what? When they make all that money that we all complain about, they know that they have to look good and they know that they have to also be concerned about other investments and making money with energy in the future, so they're not stupid about that. So they try to push money, at least a big chunk of cash, into future ventures. As far as federal dollars, that's completely different than anything an oil company individually does. So if we look at the Energy Department, we look at these massive programs that were supposedly created to stimulate the economy with these technology firms. We all know the Solyndra story by now, and then there were others that followed suit after that, but almost to the tune of $400 billion is not something that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Vantage Point Venture Partners, that was one that blew up. You know, these guaranteed loans and these startup companies, and then the failure of some of these companies. So I'd have to say, in the Department of Venture Capitalism and trying to pick winners and losers, they're just not doing such a good job in Washington. They're not doing a good job in that Obama White House because, yes, there are startup companies that won't make it, especially in this sector. But $400 billion? Yeah, you start to look at that money, and that's a whole different animal than initially a couple of million here and a couple of million there. So who's making the decisions? They're saying, they're stressing that they didn't make the decision. They're not making the decisions. There are other people, there are other advisors who are doing that. So David Gold, who's quoted now all over the place in, I think, the New York Times, Washington Post, wherever, is a venture capitalist and a critic of the investments in clean tech, said that even if the staffers were actually pulled out of the final decision-making, they had inside access to influence on what companies the money was going to go to. Solyndra is the most public because of the $535 million and how much was whittled away in a company that ultimately went belly up and had to let go of 1,100 people, too, by the way. Not just the company itself, but the fact that all those jobs went out. But the thing, the reason to bring this up and the thing to me that made it out of the gate something that I wanted to talk about when we talk about when we say follow the money is the fact that we're doing it so wrong in developing these future technologies. I mean, they're gambling with our money. They're gambling with our money, hoping that a corporation is going to do well. Well, I have ideas for startup companies. How about you out there? I bet you every single person that called into the show, I could come up with a startup idea for you. You probably have one on your own. I mean, maybe not in this sector, but you have a startup. Nobody's coming in to give you a guaranteed loan. So isn't the ethics of this that the government, the employees of the government, can't even appear to have some kind of improper influence on this? So, you know, where are we at? How about anyone who raises dough for any future presidents shouldn't be allowed to serve in government? But because all parties, both parties, are so dependent on big money, that won't come into play. Somebody picked wrong. I mean, they really, really picked wrong if the number is that high. It's our money, and it's money that's just squandered because we're on the hook for the principal. We're on the hook for that. Remember, when you take a loan out, what do you have to pay? Doesn't it kill us when you look at your bill, you look at your mortgage, you look at the principal? But they're not paying it. The guaranteed loans, they don't have to do that. So we are losing in all kinds of directions. The big thing that will happen on Friday is the vote on the payroll tax extension, which I mentioned. That'll be money that'll be pushed off to the side. We already said that you'll get your chunk of the pie if you're under 250. So you'll start to just get the same. Well, you still have the money. It hasn't been taken away, but you'll keep getting the little bit extra that you get in your checks will still be there. That's not going to go away. In the meantime, while we're squandering all this money, are we going to have to spend more money and figure out ways to raise it since we're cutting the defense budget over what's happening in Iran? I know. I talk about Iran. But I get a lot of comments from many of you about the situation there because it's not over there. It's really right there in our front window. We have to be concerned about Iran because of the money that flows freely in and around that country. And Israel has an itchy finger. They're worried about security. They're worried the most that we've seen in a long time as to what they'll do if there's a coordinated series of attacks in the other direction. There's massive security for ambassadors, et cetera, in other places. So the spots where they're seriously concerned are at Israeli consulates. And in New York, for example, there have been a lot more sweeps. There are more cars that are circling around. There's big concern of something happening to an Israeli target now in the U.S. based on some of the things that have happened with Iran. But what we care about, would you support World War III? Would you support going in and being part of whatever happens in Iran should it get to the point where we're talking bombs and a serious, serious actual threat to level the playing field? Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
After 70 years, it's what he goes there for. Still unlocked the door. All around him, Christmas.
I forgot to set the menu for you out of the gate, so let me do that coming up in our next segment on America Tonight. Are you bored? Are you bored with your life? Are you bored at work? Are you bored at home? Are you just bored, bored, bored? Sounds like an odd question to ask, but really it's not. People get in this cycle. A lot of people get in the cycle of just, even if they've got lots of outlets, a lot of things they can do, things they used to be interested, they drop things that they were in the past interested in, whether it was riding bikes or playing tennis or golf or painting, reading books, sailing, whatever it is. And this is just in the personal life and spending time with their family. And at the in the workplace, same thing, not enough work, messing around, blowing time on the computer. It just leads to boredom. It is a huge problem. And maybe, honestly, you find yourself in this caught in this crazy situation where you're bored. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not bored, but you might fall into this category. And I've definitely worked with people who have been that way, where they, boy, they'll just try to drag out those lunches, not because they're lazy, not because they're sick of work. They're just bored with work. So we're going to talk to an expert who actually does this for a living, a life coach, about the whole theory surrounding it and what it can mean, how you could be ripe for death or a heart attack or a zillion other things that could happen to you, all because you just find yourself being bored. All right, I'm bored with the story of the payroll tax deal, so that's dead for the rest of this hour. That's part of the menu. We're not, it's off the table. We're not talking about it. Nobody bring it up. We're not talking about the payroll tax deal. It's gonna get voted on Friday. We've already said that. We're done with it. We know what the deal is there. We're gonna do another Week in Count, cause it is all about the numbers. And when we talk about, numbers, there's a cool car that you may know of called Tesla. You've heard of the Tesla, probably. And they've, so far, I read this number, it's a crazy number, they've racked up like 40 million for orders of a certain car. I'm going to tell you what that car is when we get to We Can Count. But before we go there, I am going to reveal a number that might be shocking to some and maybe not to others. I just went on the rampage about all these guaranteed loans for these startup companies in the energy sector. The president now has an approval rating of 50%. 50% is pretty good. 8 months ago, you know, this is the best he's had in 8 months. If you look at the holidays and then heading into the New Year's, kind of a rocky, not kind of, it was a rocky road. But because of the perception that things are turning around, that the economy is getting better, that people are finding jobs, the unemployment number is going down, the view of what's happening in D.C. isn't as gloomy for the executive branch. It still is for people who are in Congress because of all the bickering, all the nonsense that we see. Now, the independents are key in this upcoming election. And the Democrats aren't worried. They think this is a layup with Obama. Everyone I talk to, they're like, yeah, it'd be a stunner if a Republican could win this. It'd be a stunner. That's why it's probably going to be a brokered convention. But independents are a key for anybody that's running. And the independents now have a very positive view of the president. His approval rating has reached 50% in the suburbs. So there are people that are saying, yeah, I don't even like anybody else out there. I'm not even going to listen. I'm going to go for what we got in the White House right now versus looking at anything else that's happening. More than 6 in 10 Americans believe the policies of Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich favor the rich. Santorum and Paul do better when they're measured, but only a quarter feel that way about President Obama. Remember, in October, 64% of Republicans said they were extremely or very enthusiastic about voting for president, compared to only 43% of Democratic voters. But now that's turned around. The enthusiasm, the GOP enthusiasm since then has been swacked to 13 points, down 13 points to 51%. The same as the Democrats' level of enthusiasm for whatever these numbers are worth, let's say. But the number for the president, that is absolutely significant, especially while there's a lull for the Republicans till they get back to the caucuses and primaries. That'll start up on the 22nd and then the debates. But that means here we are heading into the spring. Before you know it, it's the summer, and then, boom, you're into November. And if those numbers keep climbing, it means he's unbeatable. And especially you get to that 55 threshold, unbeatable. It's going to be tough. That's why I really believe it's going to be a brokered convention, because if the Republicans are being honest and they're trying to swing for the fences and they don't think that they have somebody that they can swing for the fences with, it's going to be brokered, and there will be people arguing about what direction, what should happen, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting to watch how that is all pulled apart in Tampa. So the establishment guides, it's Mitt Romney, but what happens if Mitt Romney doesn't win this thing anyway, get enough of the delegates like Super Tuesday and before that, what happens if that count is weak? And if Mitt Romney can't win Michigan, then he's really in trouble, if you think about it. His father was a big-time auto exec and the governor there. I mean, that is in his backyard, if there ever was a backyard. But his ties to Michigan aren't as strong as they used to be, because he moved away, and his family had ties there, but his ties are not as strong as they were. But it'd be a big loss for him, even if Santorum is pretty close to him. Some people are starting to take note of that, and they're starting to talk about it. But you could find a lot of op-ed pieces who you know, columnists who write about politics who think the same thing. Michigan's almost like a must win for Romney. I want to mix up a couple of things before we run out of time, because like we said in the next, segment, we're talking about boredom and how crazy that is. How are people bored at work? One thing people aren't bored with is this 23-year-old point guard for the New York Knicks. Finally, they have some real life on the floor, and the guy's name is Jeremy Lin. They're calling it Lin Sanity. It's been a huge marketing ploy for the Knicks, but they've won 7 straight. So the thought is, this guy is sellable. We have our ace in the hole at the card table, and his name is Jeremy Lin, and he is appealing to Knick fans in general. He's appealing to Asians who want to come out and see Jeremy Lin. So the Knicks, after squandering away a ton of money, finally found something that they can hook onto, and he's got social media wise 300,000 followers on Twitter. And the key thing is, the key thing about this kid is, he's a Harvard graduate who was called off the bench, and he's become the unlikely hero for the Knicks. In his first game, he scored 25 points to beat the Nets. And last week, his 38 points outscored Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant from the Lakers for another win. So even if you don't like sports, you're not paying attention. How about that for a hero? Kid who goes to Harvard, sits on the pine, gets called into the game. Nobody even knows who he is. And he's blowing people away with how impressively he plays. He's only been in 10 days. The Knicks say they can't stock enough jerseys with his name on it. See, we like those underdogs. America loves an underdog. So there's an underdog. I mean, look, the guy got an Ivy League education, but the fact that he was this athlete that was sitting there, and then they go to him, and he ends up being the guy who is winning these wars with these powerhouse teams. That's something. I wonder how long that can last, that Lin Sanity. I like the word, Lin Sanity. And I bet that those New Yorkers like that word too, without a doubt. All right, don't be bored. We're going to talk about boredom next here on the show.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Bored at work and wondering what's going on, and let me tell you, there's serious things that can happen to you as a result of being bored. Somebody who knows all about that, Letitia Switzer, joins us. She's written 7 books. You've probably seen some of her stuff in articles around the country, maybe when you're at the doctor's office or whatnot, you know, how they have the layout of all the magazines. Or if you've been to the newsstand, certainly there have been stuff in there. I know I came across something a little while ago. And she knows how challenging that whole boredom thing can be. In fact, a recent study of workers in England showed that when employees are just flat-out bored at work, they turn to chocolates, caffeine, you know, the person who drinks 100 cups of coffee a day, and then sometimes the alcohol, and that's ultimately a bad road for many people to go down. Thanks so much, Letitia, for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
I'm so happy to be here.
Is it, how big is this problem? I'm going to tell you in a second why I think it's bigger than people even know, but from your point of view, and you're a life coach as well, how big is this problem?
Well, it's really big in the workplace as well as in the rest of life. An earlier 2010 study of British workers said essentially that boredom kills. In a long-term study with 7,000 people over 25 years, they found that those who indicated that they were bored were 40% more likely to die before the end of the study from stroke and heart attack and that kind of thing. So it's really bad for your health. But it's also extremely bad for the employer. Boredom results in mistakes, like in hospitals and airline traffic controllers. These are deadly mistakes. Or calculations, recording of figures can be very problematic. Also, that study that you referred to mentions that vandalism and stealing and pranks increase among board employees. And, of course, we know about using the employer's time for gaming on your computer and stealing time from the employer by using your phone just to entertain yourself.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, the phone thing. I'm sorry, I wanted to jump in there. The phone thing and with the gaming thing, I just saw a study on this where 2 to 3 hours, sometimes even 4 hours, Letitia, people are wasting surfing around on the web or doing other things. That's incredible. I think that's an amazing amount of time lost, don't you?
Well, it is. But there's two things going on here. One is that they are taking time away from their employer, but the other is that the biggest cause of boredom was not having too much work, but having too little work. So perhaps these people are really underemployed. There was one study that showed that in the U.S., of more than 800,000 employees at 61 organizations worldwide, there were more people that were dissatisfied because they were underworked than the ones that had too much work.
Wow. And do you think that, see, I also think sometimes that leads to depression when people are bored at home as well, even though they have a million things you could do, read a book, take a walk, take a swim, work out, I don't know, listen to music. You know, I could probably think of 50 different things. And I don't think that there, if it's the home life we're talking about, I don't think that there aren't things that aren't available, but something else must be going on there. And you're a life coach. What would you say that is when it's when we move from the workplace to home?
Well, you remember when you were a child and you said, I'm bored, to your
parents? Oh, yeah.
And your mother said, okay, here's a mop. You can clean the bathroom floor. And that
yep.
was really kind of a punishment. It was not a more interesting thing. So we really get so that we learn not to say, I'm bored, because boredom is considered the mark of someone who's uncreative. There's this expression, only the boring are bored. Now, that's not true, but people don't go around when they're grown-ups and say, I'm bored. Well, they do all the time, actually, but they don't tell their employers, their parents, you know, the people that are judging them. But the fact is that different people are interested in different things, and when I coach, I look for their elements of interest, which are completely individual. Yes, there's certain things that really do cause boredom, and that is same old, routine, no challenge, et cetera. But there's also very individual characteristics that I call elements of interest. Some people are very turned on by competition and uncertainty and risk, whereas other people want predictability and they want safety and they want to know that things are going to be the way they're going to be. So it's important to figure out what really drives you, because boredom is simply a neurological state of having insufficient stimulation. So you've got to know what stimulates you. And when I coach, I really go into exercises that show lifelong elements that have brought joy and engagement. And we find out what's special about each person.
So you tell people, basically, if you work with people, they would have like a checklist. Okay, so you're a more driven person. You need to be in more competitive situations, because when you're not, you fall into that lull. Or if you like predictability, you gave us great examples of that. And is that how you break, is that partially how you can break the pattern? Because I'm telling you, I hear this, Letitia, all the time. From all kinds of people, people that are successful, people that are still hoping to grab the brass ring. But I've heard a lot of people in my life tell me they're bored.
Well, yes. Well, people who are in really high-powered jobs, sometimes they just have to go to their boss and say, what can you throw at me? Because I've mastered what I'm doing now, and I just don't enjoy mastery, whereas many, many people want to master something, and then they revel in that mastery, and they say to themselves, you know, damn, I'm good, and they like that. But other people are saying, I've mastered that, I've got to move on to something else. It's highly individual, and I don't so much, I think you said, give them a checklist. I tend to ask them about stories. I ask them about the joyful moments in their life, and I ask them about what they did when they were a child, when they had nothing, you know, nothing that they had to do, and there was nobody telling them what they had to do. And if you make a list of the 10 most joyful moments or events of your life, adult, child, whatever, if you put those out and then you put them away for a while and you go back and you look at them, you'll see certain elements are coming through, whether it's applause that turned you on or whether it's reveling in your skill or whether it's being with people. You know, some people, I think sometimes we call them nerds. What they really want is to be given a problem to solve and to go off by themselves and do it and don't bother them with phone calls and emails and filling out forms. Other people can hardly work if they don't have someone with them beside them working or someone to talk to bounce things off of. And so when you look back at your lifetime of joy, was it with other people? Was it by yourself? Did you need to be in a team? Did you need to be alone? Were you the hands-on person? Were you the one that actually got your hands dirty and did it? Or were you the person who just threw out ideas? Or were you the person who sold it? Remember when you made mud pies? Did you ever make mud pies and then you pretended you were selling them?
Sure.
You know, what did the selling feel like? Did that feel good? Or did you leave that for someone else? So I really do a lot of exploring through story throughout people's lives and figure out what are their elements of interest. And then when they're bored, I ask them to escape it or shape it. Sometimes you can escape it. Sometimes you should escape it. But other times you need to shape it by bringing these elements into the boredom. And there's one thing you need above all is freedom. After all, if you're at work and you're a very imaginative person and somehow you're not allowed to bring this imagination into your work, you're going to have to figure out a way to do that. And I think that getting the freedom, designing the freedom, is part of what I coach people on.
Oh, yeah, that's the creative part. I absolutely agree with you, is to be able to do that without a doubt. And you know, it's interesting. I thought about this as you were talking, giving us some great examples and ideas. If some of the people listening have small businesses, wouldn't it be great if you could match these personalities up? Because if somebody likes to do the details, but somebody is the broader stroke person, the more creative, and you do work in an environment where you have teams, boy, I think sometimes if you could match those personalities up, you'd probably have more productivity anyway. I don't know why more companies don't do that, like personality testing or diving deeper or life coaching. I think that could help in some of these situations where people say they're bored. Do you think that would work?
Oh, I so much agree with you. And usually that is easier to do in a small business than in a huge business. In any case, the immediate supervisor should know his people or her people and notice what turns them on. Notice when they get a spark in their eye and they go off enthusiastically to do something, and notice when they sort of slowly take the paper and shuffle off to their office to do it. So notice the glint in the eye when you're supervising people, and notice the glint in your own eye so you can perhaps tell someone what turns you on and ask them, can they give you more of that? It's a great thing to do when you're bored, particularly if you don't have enough to do, is to sit down and design the job that you would like to have in this company or in another company if you're ready to make the break. And you design it and then try to make it practical and present it to your supervisors and see if you can really make it happen. Sometimes they say, boy, I'm glad to hear you say that you'd like to do that. I never knew before. So you have to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, boy, that's the best way to end this. You have to advocate for yourself, absolutely. Leticia Schweitzer, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Attention, guys, do I have a car for you? Imagine cruising down the center of town in a Model X Tesla. Unfortunately, I mean, it is gorgeous on the outside. Unfortunately, we're talking about serious bucks to drive in one of these models. I was looking at the pricing the other day for them, and Tesla's talked about a lot out of California. The Model X won't even go into production until the end of 2013, but the interest has boosted orders for the Model S Tesla. So to reserve Model X, customers have to pony up a $5,000 deposit for the base version of it, or a $40,000 deposit for the top-of-the-line Signature Series. And it's an incredible-looking car. It's a crossover that's based on the same engineering as the Model S. And what you need to know is you're talking about a car that's got rear wheel, all-wheel drive, battery pack sizes. We're talking about an acceleration that's similar to a Porsche, 0 to 60, 4.4 seconds. But Tesla, as much as people are lining up for the orders of this of the Tesla models, they had a fourth quarter net loss of $220 million, and that's up from last year because, you know, they have all this research and development and production, and we're talking about electric versions. They're testing, like, an electric version of the Toyota RAV4 crossover SUV. Yeah, that's a sold. The electric idea is great, and if it had gone forward, it could have been perfected, but let's be real. You get an electric car, and you're out there, you gotta be able to juice up, let's say, and they're not charging stations, all over the place, dotting the countryside. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough depending on where you live. If you're just tooling around in the neighborhood, that's a different story. But if you're going from town to town or city to city, it's tougher to find it. There's actually a charging station that I found 10 miles from my house, and I can't find any other charging station anywhere else near it in either direction. So I think it's cost prohibitive, but the charging thing is the key. I mean, you talk to somebody who wants to sell you one of the cars, they'll make it sound like, well, you know, just plug it into your electricity. You can do that in your own house, in the comfort of your house. And then when you're tooling around and you're stuck in traffic and you're worried, I mean, I don't know. Maybe my fears are unfounded, but I'm not completely sold on it yet. Let them perfect it. It could have been perfected, but they put the brakes on it and killed the electric car. If they had let it go 20 years ago, maybe the whole thing would have been perfected by now. Who do you think killed the electric car? Think about it. If you have an answer, send me a note at americatonight.net. Okay, this is interesting because everybody was releasing their tax returns. And that was a big deal for Mitt Romney, remember, in one of the debates. Was he going to release it? How long was it going to take? And now nobody cares. Everybody knew he was wealthy and expected a big number. But for Rick Santorum, he released his latest 4 years of tax returns. He earned $3.6 million, a little bit more than that, in 2010. The most recent, he earned almost $1 million. He paid $263,000 in taxes. His tax rate was 28.3%, and it just goes from there. His tax rate bounces around, but it was in the neighborhood of 28 for the last 4 years. And he has been promising to release the taxes, but he didn't. He said he had to go to his house to get them off the computer since he doesn't own his taxes. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Nobody knows where their tax returns are. I mean, that's a part of the fear of getting audited. Where are my past returns, right? Unless you're very, very organized, and I have a feeling there's a few of you out there anyway that are organized. And we know this now. Newt released only 1 year of his income taxes. He made $3.1 million. He paid $994,000 in taxes. He was taxed at a 31% tax rate. And Mitt Romney, like I said, they made $21.7 million. He paid $3 million in federal taxes, but his earnings were off of investments, so there was a lot of hoopla over that, but it was easily explained. I think that's why Newt was chomping at the bit to see what the release was going to be so that they could go after Mitt Romney. And you know, actually, the two of them attacking each other probably was part of the reason, besides the idea that the economy has turned around, probably the reason why we saw a 50% jump or 50% approval rating right now for the president, when it had been in the lower 40s to the mid 40s in the last 4 or 5 months. This is a big one for numbers. The Texas Republicans are planning on a May 29th primary. This was a crazy deal. This is what the judge said, a federal judge. Because there's been this dispute over redistricting, so they don't believe that it can be held any earlier. They've got to push it off to make sure that that's all in place. Texas was supposed to be part of March's Super Tuesday, but the battle over voting maps that just blew up pushed it instead to the end of May, because now that it's May, Texas could be irrelevant in choosing the Republican presidential nominee. So isn't that interesting that in one sense was costly, because in Texas everything's bigger, and Texans like to be, just like New Yorkers and just like Californians, they like to be on the forefront of everyone's mind, and that has to be disappointing, I would say, for some. Another Kennedy wants to run for office. Joseph Kennedy III says he's going to jump into the race for Barney Frank's Massachusetts seat now that he's retiring. Kennedy is the son of the former U.S. Congressman Joe Kennedy II, grandson, we know the lineage, Robert F. Kennedy. And he recently moved from Cambridge to Brookline, part of the redrawn 4th Congressional District. And there are a lot of ties to those Boston suburbs. So he announced last month he was forming an exploratory committee to look at the possible run. He's not the only one in the race. He will have some interesting competition. And, you know, the death of Ted Kennedy, the great, which would be Joe Kennedy's great uncle in 2009, left kind of an opening for the family, because once the congressman from Rhode Island, Patrick Kennedy, was retired, it was the first time in 63 years that there was no Kennedys serving in any office. 63 years. No Kennedy serving in any elected office in Washington. So now he's going to try to grab a spot, and he has the name, but will the name be enough to push him over the top? Like I said, there's some stiff competition, and with the redraw there, with, you know, redrawing the districts there, that might be much more interesting than people think it's going to be. Be fascinating to watch it, certainly, for sure. Here was a big one, the transportation bill. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, delayed action on the transportation bill for a couple of different reasons. One of them being that you're talking about $260 billion, and he wanted to wait until after next week's congressional recess, because you know how they'll start arguing, get up there, and then you run out of time. And there's so many amendments. They've got 300 amendments that are part of this bill. And Republicans are trying to figure out a way to pay for the bill. So that's what we call a push. We're recessing next week. It's a push. Come back after that. Hey, any thoughts on the show? Share them with me at americatonight.net.